I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oh, he's lost out to McNeil there. A complete miss kick by Trippier. Can Everton capitalise? Dwight McNeil, you bet he can. Everton punish a Newcastle error. And it's that man, Dwight McNeil.
Trippier.
No, another mistake by Trippier, and Harrison pounces this time and cuts it back for McNeil. Four for Decore. Job done. Two Newcastle errors, two Everton goals, three Everton points. You can hear what the fans think of it. Patterson's ball in. Beto is going to bear down on goal. He's inside the 18-yard box. Beto gets his first Premier League goal for Everton and puts the seal on a wonderful night at Goodison Park.
Hello, Blues. This is the Toffee Web Podcast, a rare instant match reaction pod. Well, we just had to after that, didn't we? Plus, Ben King said we had to. So here we are to bask really in the warm glow of Everton's 3-0 win over Newcastle at a bouncing Goodison Park. There were early Christmas presents from Kieran Trippier for his former boss, Sean Dyche. Anthony Gordon was booed relentlessly and displayed all the end product of, well, Anthony Gordon. Beto scored his first Premier League goal, and were it not for that infamous points deduction, the Toffees would be in the top half of the Premier League. Adam's here with me. Paul's just got back from the grand old lady, no doubt riding the crest of a blue wave across the Mersey and waving at that soft lad Sky reporter hiding out on the Wirral from all those nasty scousers as he went. Paul, sum that one up for us. 11 minutes to go. It feels like it's going to be a stalemate and a case of us ruining missed chances again. By the end, we've registered our biggest win over the Barcodes for almost 8 years.
Is that right? Wow. Yeah, I guess that will be right. It's been a while. Yeah, I thought it was slipping away from us a bit that game. I felt like Newcastle, we were so good first half, and when Dominic missed that chance and a few of us didn't go our way, I thought it's just going to be another one of them days. And like I was saying the other week, I think we got this psychological barrier at home. We fluff our lines and all that. And then the second half, Newcastle much more in it, to be fair, weren't they? And they, you know, on the counter, they had openings themselves. It's for. And then just out of that, just that kind of out of nowhere, really, just Dwight wins the ball and runs it. And it just needed somebody to have a calm head finally in front of the goal. And, he could easily just play the ball into Dominic or try to. And, yeah, he peeled away, made a good little run. But just have that composure to bury it. And I thought that was that these goals have been sort of coming for Dwight, and it's good that he's made such an impact the last couple of games, and hopefully kicking on a bit more now from where he left off last season. But the scenes when he scored were just fabulous, and it really makes you realise how much you're going to miss Goodison Park. Yeah, when we move them last, however many minutes with stoppage time, let's say 20 minutes, I guess, with all it just encapsulated everything that's just beautiful and amazing about Goodison Park when it's like that, and you're hugging everyone, and it's, you know, the players are celebrating right in front of you as they were in the Gladys Street. It's been a while since I've seen goals in the Gladys Street, especially for me, right in front of you. It's just there's no better feeling than that. It's just it's just absolutely amazing, and we've only missed that, but yeah, absolutely. Just incredible effort, wasn't it? The much deserved win overall. Newcastle were at it for a while, but I think on the balance we were way better. And then what pleased me most was when we were ahead, then players were like scrapping like a pack of animals to try and win the ball back and get the ball back and and keep the ball. They weren't going to get beaten there. They weren't going to be denied there. It was just incredible. Really, great evening at Goodison Park, and it's so special. It's a great place, and it'll be missed. But we can talk about that another day. For now, we just talk about a great performance against the Newcastle United, but, a much needed win, and out of the bottom three, eh?
Indeed, out of the bottom three, or to Lyndon's point earlier, should be in the top half. But, yeah. I mean, I had probably the polar opposite experience here, Paul. In that I was at a sort of very middle class Sri Lankan restaurant for most of this evening, with my phone perched between a menu. I had a lovely evening with friends, but every time I looked up at my phone, something pretty stressful happened. So I just kept looking the other way. So it was like, oh, Idrissa Gay's got booked, or Dom's missed a good chance, or Gordon's kind of gone through and done, as we said, that kind of Gordon thing and skied one over, or sort of put it too close to the goalkeeper. And I left said restaurant at about sort of 75, 76 minutes gone, and then didn't look at my phone until the most blissful. I mean, maybe I should do that more often, really, just sort of take a kind of a car journey while Everton are playing, because arriving back to see a VAR decision on our third goal after that moment was just utterly surreal, and having watched it back now, it still feels a little surreal. But yeah, what a victory! What a really, really good performance across the board. From a lot of the commentary, I kept hearing about Newcastle's fatigue and obviously all the travails that they've been through as a football club, which are obviously very well documented. And I know they're sort of desperate for some kind of rivalry with ourselves, but that was just put to bed in the most emphatic way possible. It was just a really, really, really good performance. And as you say, I think as soon as we scored, the doggedness that we've shown at the back was fully evident in terms of Tarkowski and Braithwaite. Just very, very solid. I feel very assured watching us defend, but also the confidence that was bred, especially with the second goal. You could feel it, and I mean, the fact that we're talking about Olays at Goodison Park, I mean, it's just with a 10-point deduction, what could potentially have been a very mutinous, angry atmosphere, and obviously in some ways it is, but directed in all the right places. But to come away from it, a game like that against a very good side, it must be said, a side with dangerous players. Gordon is among them. He's in good form, certainly. And we kept them really quiet. Isak as well, a really tricky player on the break. And yes, they had a few openings, but from what I saw of the game in between courses, it was pretty comfortable. It was pretty comfortable. And I think, as you mentioned, Paul, that quality that McNeil showed, it's two games in a row. His record at Burnley was usually sort of two, maybe three goals a season. He's already got that now in December. And that's with taking injuries into account early in the season. Obviously, didn't start the season fully fit. I think he'll be so important. But the kind of pig-headedness, really, when he got on the ball, you just kind of felt like, oh, he's going to do something with the ball. He just took the ball forwards. And that finish was really, really top draw. as it was again on Saturday. So that bodes really well. And then, yeah, two goals on top of that. That's really the cherry on top, isn't it? So really positive, breeds so much confidence. I'll be there on Sunday for the Chelsea game. I was already excited, but I'm even more so now. I am chomping at the bit. Really excited. So yeah, more to come.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, it was a thumping finish, wasn't it? And it was one of those instances where, as you were saying, Paul, we've had all this narrative at home so far this season of missed chances, and part of that has been, I think I've mentioned it on the pod before, that sort of agreed on some of the players' part where they're electing to go for goal themselves when there are better options. And that's, you know, either ended up with the goalkeeper making a save or the ball going wide. And I have to say that thought did go through my mind as McNeil was surging through and Calvert-Lewin was kind of peeling off to the left, but not really in the greatest of positions to kind of lay it off. And then he just belts it past Dubravka. And it's funny because I did the match preview questions with Ash from NUFC News. And inevitably, the question of Anthony Gordon came up, and you know, the question was, you know, something along the lines of, you know, is he going to be one of the sort of key players for Newcastle to watch out for? And I said, yeah, sure. But I said, you know, I'd still rather have Dwight McNeil. And I think, you know, that the evidence of tonight shows that. I mean, Gordon had two very good opportunities through on goal and wasted them both. And McNeil had one and just absolutely leathered it past the keeper. So, yeah. He's a terrific player, Dwight McNeil, and he's very, very much kind of under the radar where sort of the rest of the Premier League are concerned and pundits are concerned. And I'm looking forward to him kind of just emerging over the next few years, because what is he, still only 22? He's still quite young. Yeah. So he's got plenty of time, and he must just have the confidence now back in his veins. I'm looking forward to more goals from him, really. But yeah, as you said, Adam, just a terrific performance overall. Yes, Newcastle have had a lot of games and they have a lot of injuries. And there was the commentary team here. We had John Champion and Jim Beglin. And Jim Beglin, to his credit, you know, being the red that he is, red in the blue house, I mean, he did acknowledge several times just, you know, the atmosphere, how well we played, how well we been dealing with everything, given the 10-point deduction, everything. But they were making the case frequently about how tired Newcastle's players were. And I didn't really see that much. I just thought that we put in the kind of performance that we've kind of missed, particularly against United. I think that kind of just being formidable almost all the way through. You know, obviously there are a couple of moments when Newcastle got through. And I think Isak probably on another day might have scored one. But, you know, for the most part, you know, that the entire back four, back five, if you put Patterson in there as well, after he came on for Seamus, I mean, they all five of them were just terrific. You know, Mikalenko, again, just almost nothing got by him. Branthwaite, you know, bloodied and bruised and but, you know, sort of carried through it like a warrior. James Tarkowski, one error aside, which I think, you know, Pickford really did play him into awful trouble there at one point. But again, got away with it because Gordon couldn't finish it. So, you know, on a night when I think we went into it thinking, oh, you know, we're missing James Garner, you know, who's going to play in midfield? How's this going to work? And I think it worked really, really well. Obviously, we can't afford too many more injuries because it's getting a bit threadbare, but terrific performance on the whole.
But yeah, Newcastle's injuries. I mean, look at their team that they had out there today. It's full of really good players. You know, like exactly, they're 11. Yeah. I mean, like, sure, like the squad they've got is the depth that they've got. And you talk about the injuries, they're reeling them off. We had Talk Sport and on the way back, and they're reeling off the players that are injured. And the guy, Callum Wilson, the keeper. And then other than that, though, I mean, you're talking about like Willock and you know, Longstaff and, you know, players like that, who, you know, Taggart. Yeah, players like that. Like, it's very much like, you know, no disrespect to these players, but surely they're squad players, a lot of them, or players who come in and out. You know, it's hardly like they're, you know, look at the 11 that's out there. Guy Morelos, Joelinton, Almiron, Isak, Gordon, you know what I mean? Kevin Trippier. They're all, you know, they play most of their games. And so, okay, they've had more games, they've had Champions League games. But, you know, we've got a small squad. Sean Dyche doesn't change it a lot. You can't have, you know, I mean, it's yeah. You know, I don't think you can really the investment that's been made into that squad compared to ours now, I don't think you can really sit there and go like, oh, well, God, this is unfair on Newcastle compared to Everton. They haven't been stripped of 10 points. You know what I mean? So it's, I don't think it's really, it's a bit of a lame argument that really. I think when it came down to it on the night, Everton wanted it more. And I think they really showed that, again, once they were ahead, they weren't going to be denied their 10 minutes of stoppage time. It seemed a bit much. I know yeah. Jordan was down for a while, etc. But 10 minutes, really. I mean, but anyway, it's a kind of a good thing. It just kind of feeds into that narrative a little bit of like Everton against the world. You know what I mean? When things like that happen, and it just peps up the crowd even more. And it just, in a way, peps up the players even more, you know, and they just respond, and then just full marks them for me. They're taking on every challenge that comes the way. Yes, we lost to Man U, but it could have been different, you know. But like, you know, what is it like? Is that 8 wins in 13 now, or 9 and 13, or something like that? Certainly 5 and 7, I think, or something in all competitions. And how can you ask for more than that from what they're doing? It's just an incredible effort. And it was a real good discussion on the back who was man of the match, and there were so many contenders out there tonight. I thought, I mean, when we saw, we didn't know what was going on when we saw the team in the pub before the game, and I think someone read the team and goes, "Oh, Coleman's playing, and so is Young, and so is Evan." It took us it took us so long that I was like, "What's happening there? Is Dwight McNeil playing off the striker? What are you doing?" And it didn't occur to us that Jack Harrison was the man who'd be playing more in the midfield. And I thought he did. Talk about, you know, effort and application, and the second goal was down to him, and yeah, you know, running back and making it difficult for Trippier, and you know, challenging him and winning the ball and getting it into the box. So that's all down to him. And okay, short in quality at times, but could not fault him for effort in there. He was absolutely brilliant. Dwight was brilliant. Ashley Young had a very good game, and nice to see him get some good recognition from the crowd at one point when he charged him, chasing things down late in the game, and he got a good round of applause. He was fantastic all over the pitch. It was Idrissa Gueye, I keep lauding him. He had another very, very good game. He made a lot of tackles. Dominic, there's so much more to what he does than score goals. I mean, he's due a goal now, but he just brings so much more into the team. That so many good performances, and then wasn't nice to see Beto score at the end. And is that the 29 passes amongst all the Moles before we put the ball in? That's incredible.
Was it really
29 passes?
Yeah, I haven't actually seen any replays because the feed here just ended, and then the coverage from NBC, they just did West Ham against beating Spurs, and then just went and just cut off and went. Like, oh, wow. Thanks very much.
Corruption at its finest.
Didn't happen. Yeah, I haven't seen it since. It's just obviously just going from Twitter and the 29. I knew it was a part of it. We were sent on the way back. Like, how many passes was that? And I didn't care that we'd be quite that many. But one side of the pitch, you got like Harrison and Dwight and just knocking it around, one touch passing and all that. It was great. And then before you know it, I think it was a searching ball. Was it Tarkovsky? I don't know. I can't even remember. Was it Tarkovsky played? Anyway, it was I don't know, but whatever. And suddenly Beto was through. It was just amazing. And to see him finish it as well, it's really made up for him. I think Andy said on the WhatsApp group that I thought he'd go mad there. You kind of wanted to explode. And that was so made up for him when it wasn't disallowed as well. It said, check him for offside. Oh, here we go. But yeah, I haven't seen it since, but just so made up. So many good efforts, so many good performers throughout the pitch, and you just can't fault the lads. And Dyche, it's hard to pick holes, to be fair, at the moment. Really, really pleased. Just got to keep this going at home now. Who knows where the season can end? It's mad, isn't it? You're still in the cup.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't end up getting the points deduction, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But it's amazing. It's just feels like it's something in the air. It's a really strange season ahead, isn't it?
Just a bit. I mean, isn't it always? let's be fair. But I think you're right to pick up on the fact that, yeah, obviously a lot was made of Newcastle's fatigue and the squad. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you look at their squad, apart from I've forgotten his name, but they've got like a young lad in midfield who's only 17 or 18. But apart from that, that's pretty much, yeah, that's basically their first choice 11, isn't it? Probably bar like a Callum Wilson here or there.
Dan Byrne
at the back. Yeah.
The only one that they would really miss. And against us, Callum Wilson's actually a big miss because he always scores against us.
Yeah, completely. Completely, yeah. And that's that horrible kind of Bournemouth Fred as well, isn't it?
Yes.
But that's the thing. It wasn't just the fact that Newcastle necessarily weren't at it, but also that if you look at the goals, they come from our pressure. They come from the Dyche fitness, if you will. We do look a much fitter side this season. Yeah. We look far sharper. And you see that in the second goal as well. Obviously, last Saturday, it was Dwight McNeil kind of running onto a sort of Beto dummy. And the second goal is sort of reverse, but obviously with Decore running onto it, with Dwight McNeil in the box, with players overloading who are kind of making up the yards to get in and create a chance. And that's just something we haven't really seen that much over the last few years. And we're staying in games longer as a result of that. We look far fitter. And you certainly see that at the back when we're up against, and having someone like Branthwaite, who's clearly got pace as well, is a big asset in that area. But then, yeah, you're right as well, Paul, to point out the fact that, I mean, our right flank today is, you know, sort of grandparent aged, isn't it, really, in the likes of Young and Coleman. So to put in a shift like that, and certainly for Seamus coming back, his first, he's not even had a kind of 15-minute cameo, has he? He's literally been thrown into it. And more than past the audition, it's good to hear as well that I think Dyche described the injury as not significant, you know, so more of a sort of fatigue thing as opposed to another knock. And obviously then Patterson coming in as well and getting some minutes is really good, I think, for his confidence. Mm-hmm. But you're totally right to flag up. But the obvious person who really needed that jolt of confidence, even though we've been on this good run, it's certainly been a team effort, but to get that goal for Beto, and I say get that goal, he made it himself, didn't he? It was really his own effort, his own endeavour. He showed everything that I think we've seen in very much in flashes. He's done a few of those kind of runs in the past and usually kind of run into a blind alley. And yes, it's late on. Yes, he's playing against a kind of flagging back line. We've had Dom running the channels as well. But that's exactly what we put him in to do, isn't it? And it was great to see him finish it. Yeah, I also was expecting kind of more fireworks from Beto, I've got to say, in terms of his celebration. But the fact that we could kind of really relax at that point, and for him as well, I think that really bodes well. You'd expect him, say, I don't know, the home game against Fulham in the League Cup, you'd expect, say, Beto to start. Having that goal now just really gives him something in the locker to push on him through the winter. And it's nice, isn't it, to see people coming off the bench, players who can start, not just rotation options, players who can start a game, the same with Patterson as well. So that really, really bodes well. But for those players to show it against a really strong side during this run of fixtures, during all this pressure as well, I mean, yeah, you really couldn't have asked for more. I couldn't have asked for more. It's brilliant.
Yeah, 100%. I think had it not been for the closeness of the call, and no doubt he knew there was going to be a VAR check, maybe that was what tempered his celebration, or maybe it was just relief. You know, it was just like, finally, I've got this. You know, I've got this monkey off my back. But yeah, I mean, fair play to him. You know, as you say, he's tired back four or not, you still have to run the ball down, you still have to keep your composure, you still have to beat the keeper. So yeah, really, really good. And you know, I think as you both said, you couldn't find fault with anyone on the pitch. I mean, even Ashley Young, who, you know, we've been critical of, we talked about Jack Harrison on the last podcast. I mean, there were a few early missed passes from Harrison, but I mean, as I said in our group chat, that his work rate alone is kind of evens that out. And then, you know, he weighs in with an assist, I think, or at least was the one who forced Trippier into at least the second mistake. And he didn't always look like the best fit to be playing off Calvert-Lewin, but as I say, just the work that he did in the press. And if we have to do that again against Chelsea, I watched them against United, and United were pressing them pretty hard as well. Was it last night, night before, whenever it was? And they were making mistakes at the back. So from that perspective alone, I'm looking forward to us playing Chelsea on Sunday because I think we can get amongst them. They only looked good on the counter themselves because United were playing with such a high line, which I don't expect us to do. So I think there's potential now that we can actually, you know, take the game to Chelsea and give them just as many problems as we gave Newcastle tonight. So yeah, if we have to go with an unchanged side, I don't know, maybe Seamus doesn't start. Depends. Oh, you know, I think the fact that he ran off the pitch tonight was a good sign. You know, that he was, that it's not a serious thing. But we've always got, you know, we've got Patterson. So, and if Onana was touch and go for tonight and he just wasn't risked, then maybe he can be fit for the weekend. So yeah, this, we have options. And yeah, I just, everyone pulling together like this is just fantastic. And again, credit to Sean Dyche. He's keep pulling it all together. He's got the spirit right. And yeah, just made up that Goodison got to experience a night like that tonight because it's been a while.
Yeah, it sure has, hasn't it? The Chelsea coming up. Yeah, I guess we'll just have to they'll have to see how everybody pulls up from the game, you know, over the next day or so. We've got a day less than Chelsea as well. He'll have had, I'm sure they'll be factoring that in of who played against Chelsea, matchups and that sort of stuff. But you know, again, you look at it, you probably won't change an awful lot. No. You know, you generally can't, and there's not really a need to. So it's just how much you can ask of them players to do with that again. You know, within a few days, do you rotate Beto and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for example? You know what I mean? Just, you know, factoring in rest and fatigue. Dominic's just back from a little niggle. You know, things like that, there's, you just got to factor these things in. But yeah, you're right. There's good options, and it just shows what confidence does, doesn't it? The players are buzzing. You can tell they're working from each other. They'll feel 10 feet tall coming into training tomorrow or Saturday, whenever the next day in and stuff. It's brilliant. Might be a good time to play Chelsea there. Yeah, just, I don't know. I guess it's always a bit of a good time to play Chelsea at the moment. They're always on a bit of a wobble, aren't they? You know, and they haven't just gotten beaten at Man United. Yeah, the Goodison crowd will be expectant now. And yeah, that's just a, hope they can just kick on a bit more. Yeah, just you just can't help but be buzzing right now, can you? It's it's a great feeling, and just so proud of the lads at the moment, the way they're going about it, and just they're just not taking it hard. They're not accepting this. They're not accepting this, you know, the Premier League or whatever, 10 points deduction. They're not accepting that that's going to, you know, get us down. They're just kicking on and just taking it all on. And the mentality, to quote Sean Dyche, is definitely there at the moment. Yeah, just let's hope they can just keep it going.
There's a good feel about the group.
A good feel.
But I think the other thing that bodes well for Chelsea is the fact that we're coming on to the back of that game. We've scored three goals and Chelsea can see goals for fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I said on my last pod, they've not kept a clean sheet in the Premier League since October the 2nd. So, you look at a lot of the results since then. I mean, you know, they conceded to Burnley, they conceded two goals at home to Brentford, conceded four goals against Man City, against Newcastle, two at Brighton at the weekend, obviously lost to Manchester United midweek as well. And look like they've got errors at the back. So yeah, I agree. I think that pressure that we've shown against Newcastle, that has to be the template for playing against the likes of Thiago Silva, who is, I guess, a sort of Ashley Young centre-back in the sense that he's been there, done that, but you know, maybe the T-shirt's a little bit stretched at this point. I think there's definitely room to get at that side. The counterpoint to that, I guess, is that they've got lots of tricky, quick attacking players, the likes of Murdoch and Cole Palmer, Raheem Sterling as well. Yeah. They've got players who can hurt you on the day, but then so did Newcastle today, and Gordon and Isak and others as well today. So the fact that we've weathered that storm, the fact we look so solid at the back, and yeah, we've flagged up those individual performances, but the fact is it is a collective back line now. The fact that we're so solid at the back and are starting, although it's not always conventional, although it's not always completely fluid, the fact we are starting to put some of these chances away. And you, I think you said it earlier, Paul, as well, Dom looks like he's due a goal. He obviously contributes a lot more than goals, but the fact that we go into that game looking like we're going to take some chances, that really bodes well. So I think we'll at least be in that game. I think you said last time as well, Paul, that we'd probably win one out of these two games. Obviously, we've ticked this one off, but I personally felt that Chelsea was the sort of easier fixture of the two, just because of how sort of malleable they are, really. Whereas Newcastle seemed like they had a little bit more. So, but the confidence, yeah, is sky high. So let's really take advantage of that. Let's take advantage of the, you know, the injustice that's there. Let's just tap into it and, yeah, let's just keep scoring goals at Goodison Park. Eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's make it two wins out of two, or three. It'll be three on the bounce, which I don't know how far we have to go back before we did that, but I'm sure it's been a while. But there you go, Blues. That was your post-match reaction podcast for Everton 3.
Peer pressure podcast.
Peer pressure podcast. Yeah, Everton 3, Newcastle 0. We'll be back to talk about whatever happens against Chelsea. But until then, Blues, take care, and we shall not be moved up the toppies.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.